the driver's seat.
Stevie Johnson's going to fight him all the way up to the line. Who'll get there first? Kelly, I reckon. No, Johnson got him.
Three laps to go. Yeah,
he's in the fence.
Seat.
It's redemption day for Daniel Ricciardo. He wins the Monaco Grand Prix.
Yeah! Yeah!
The driver's seat with Matt McKeldin and Stephen Johnson for Kubota. Together, we are building Australia.
But my plans will have to be postponed, 'cause it's back in my car and gone.
Oh, yeah, look. It is the driver's seat. We do it thanks to Kubota, Building Australia, and Midi's Electrical. The Mobile One Midi Supercar races this weekend. At least we thought it was going to be racing this weekend, boys.
Mate, how hard did you and how deep did you have to go into the record books to find a tune by Carly Simon? That is,
you know what, even,
outstanding work, mate. Well done.
You know what worries me even more is that you know who that is that sings.
You don't know Carly Simon?
No, mate.
Oh, mate. You haven't lived until you've heard Carly Simon.
Oh, clearly.
I tell you what, because we're not going to be watching any racing this weekend, how about you jump on and just do a little bit of Google, Spotify maybe, Carly Simon? No?
No, I'm busy. Sorry.
I'm busy pulling my fingernails out.
I'm busy cutting Jet's hair.
All right, well, now's a good enough time for a Darwin Triple Crown preview. Thanks to Midi's Electrical, offering you more, and you can cheer on the Mobile One Midi Supercar in the Darwin Triple Crown. So the postponement of Hidden Valley really rocked us all when it was announced. When you say, Steve?
I think that now it was unexpected. I think you were skeptical, but I was always confident that the event was going to go ahead. But was it going to go ahead on the same dates? Well,
yeah.
Yes and no. Because yes, some of the dates are right. No, some of them aren't right. You know, and they've just got to do what they got to do. And don't be surprised if the teams do their double header the way they've got to do it, whether it's midweek and then weekend, or weekend and then midweek after that, which is whatever they've decided to do.
Because that's what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
I'm hearing that it's going to be this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 or 3 days
like
after.
Tuesday, Wednesday. One day off to prep, yep. And then Tuesday, Wednesday.
And then get back across the border to Queensland for Townsville.
Well, then go straight to Townsville. Yep. That's what, you know, I think is a decent possibility that's going to happen.
This obviously has a couple of ramifications, and I know last year we were talking about parity. This year, it seems like every week we talk about coronavirus, but this is something that is affecting our championship. But to crown a Supercars championship, we need a minimum of 6 rounds taking place in a minimum of 4 states or territories. Now, once Darwin's done and dusted and Townsville, we will have ticked that off because, obviously, yep. Adelaide yep. 500, South Australia. The AGP still counts because there was qualifying there.
It does, which, I mean, I don't know. We didn't get to race there, did we? So I understand by the rules and regs that because we did qualify.
Well, SVGs and Jamie still got that arm roll helmet.
Yeah, the horny helmet.
Oh, that sounds really bad.
It's a Viking hat with
horns on it.
Okay, Viking hats have
a horny helmet. Press on.
They did get that, and it will count. And Scotty McLaughlin could become a 3-time on the trot.
Three-peat, yeah.
I don't think... When was the last time we had a three-peat? We need
it'd have to be V8 Sleuth. Bros, wasn't it? Was it? It would have been Scaife, I reckon.
Did Scaife do it 3 times in a row?
Yes, he did.
2000...
I'll just get you tapping away on Google there to confirm that, Nimsy.
I think it's 2001, 02, or...
Don't know. I'll let you guys do all that technical stuff. But yeah, by all right of refusal, Motorsport Australia could crown Scott McLaughlin champion if we get the 2 rounds of Darwin in, because that accounts for 6, and then he could be a 3-time champion. Do I think that's going to happen? No, I don't think that's going to happen.
Nimsy, I've done some work for you.
Yep.
I've done some research. Mark Scaife, 2000 to 2002 champion,
mm-hmm. Yep.
Right? And then Jamie Whincup, 2012, 2013, 2014.
There we go.
And funnily enough, if it wasn't for James Courtney and DJR Ford, it would have been Jamie Whincup from 2008 right through to 2014.
Yeah.
Well, dominant.
That was our Triple Crown preview. Thanks to Midi's Electrical. Watch the Mobile One Midi's racing team in the V8 Supercar Series. It's a big show this week. We'll do a wrap-up of the Formula One British Grand Prix from Silverstone, and we'll look at the 3 biggest stories of the week on the podium. Plus, we have a classic Darwin moment in our race rewind this week. This is the driver's seat for Kubota. Together, we're building Australia and Midi's Electrical. Watch the Mobile One Midi's racing team in the V8 Supercar Series.
This is The Driver's Seat for Kubota. Together, we are building Australia.
Welcome back to The Driver's Seat. We do it thanks to our mates at Kubota. For over 40 years, we've been making tomorrow matter, and together we are building Australia. And Middies Electrical. Watch the Mobile One Middies racing team in the V8 Supercars Series. Now, one thing that is synonymous with the start of the motorsport calendar is the Australian Formula One Grand Prix. And usually, as you roam Albert Park, you can hear the dulcet tones of our good mate Greg Rust on the PA.
Yeah, I mean, Greg Rust, when it comes to the Formula One Grand Prix, particularly when you're there, because he does this great voiceover about safety and don't go near the track. And
Yeah, and OH&S.
OH&S and all that sort of stuff. And then, of course, we see him on the coverage, or have done.
It inspires me to put my safety glasses on.
Well, look, we did miss out on hearing him at the AGP this year, but selfishly for me, I was at least able to hear him and see him do his fine work at the Superloop Adelaide 500 at the start of the year. And we thought, now's a great time to get him on board and back to the program. So please welcome back to the driver's seat, the host of Rusty's Garage, Greg Rust.
Your attention, please.
There
the
it is.
The track is currently closed.
You know we can't. You know you can't send us an invoice for that, Mr. Rust.
No, I know. Do you know what? It's kind of become a little bit of a fun tradition in some ways. I love doing those things, but my phone just lights up with people. You know, there's a very well-known commentator who shall remain nameless who sends me messages like, "Hey, PA guy, screw you, I'm crossing the track."
Yeah, Neil Cropter wouldn't do that at all.
No. he's too polished for that. It's not him. Anyway, very funny. Yeah.
So, Rusty, we know that you are a doyen of many sports, but particularly Formula One. You spent a lot of time around it. What do you make of the season so far, and what did you make of the Silverstone Grand Prix, the first of two?
Crazy finish, wasn't it, boys, with the tyre delamination issues? To think that Hamilton could get it over the line was and do it was remarkable. I noticed, in the lead-up to our chat that Pirelli have come out and said for the next running, they're going to up the tyre pressures just slightly to cope with that, to deal with that. I think it's an extra 2 PSI in the front and maybe one in the rear. So they were quite long stints, weren't they? So, it certainly added a bit of spark. It's not ideal for it to finish like that. But, you know, people at the moment, we've got to remember, if you go back to the Great Depression in the 30s, people craved sport. We need sport. It's great for, all the mental health things that we're concerned about at the moment, which is, it's fantastic to think that the AFL and the NRL have been able to keep their seasons going, and supercars as well. And, this sort of stuff. And then to see, on a personal basis, Ricardo to finish fourth, I thought was tremendous.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, those mid-level runners this year. I mean, as we went into 2020 this year, we knew, or we thought that Ferrari were going to be good. We knew that Mercedes were going to be good. But what I'm finding, and I'm no massive fan of Formula One, it's well documented, I think it's actually quite boring, but what I have enjoyed this year has been the resurgence of those midfield teams, particularly Racing Point, particularly Renault and McLaren.
And a shame for, Sergio Perez, that the sport itself has done a very good job with its internal administration and testing for COVID-19, so, for Racing Point to then go out and draft in Nico Hülkenberg. I mean, there was all this kind of discussion happening on social media among people that were in the game about, imagine if Hülkenberg has one of his greatest ever weekends in this crazy scenario of being drafted into the team to replace Perez. So, wild year so far, hugely long break. We would desperately have loved to have seen Melbourne unfold. I think all of us that are chatting on the show tonight will never forget that press conference with Chase Carey and Andrew Westacott and everyone involved there having to tell us that, unbelievably, the event couldn't go ahead. Then the sport has regrouped. It took months for that to happen. And now in the regroup, to think that things like Imola are on the card and stuff like that, it does create an air of unpredictability, with the exception of the fact that the results so far are Mercedes, and how good is the 2020 car?
Mate, you're right. And I think that obviously the cancellation of anything pretty much outside that European population, like America, all that's done, Canada.
Yep.
They are really trying to contain it, aren't they? And they're really doing a good job in-house of containing the main people in their sport and have got a very good succession plan if they do obviously find someone that is positive.
Most definitely. I don't know the term, guys. It's something like a biosphere or something along those lines, but they effectively have, you know, a series of regulations that everyone's meant to abide by to, you know, keep themselves as this travelling bubble. And then when they do move around, they just test to ensure that if anything, you know, does crop up like this, they can snuff it out pretty quickly. So full credit to them, because international sport where you move country to country at the moment is proving, you know, enormously difficult. But F1 and MotoGP as well are doing their very best in the circumstances. So we just hope that there aren't more flare-ups in some of the other countries that they plan to go to, and we can still have, you know, fairly decent world championships.
And you're right, and you know, this year is going to be a tough year. There's no doubt about that. There'll be delays, as we're seeing with the supercars this weekend. There's going to be changes to format and all that kind of stuff. As we look forward to 2021, I don't know about you boys, but I keep seeing this relationship between Dan Ricciardo and his teammate at McLaren next year, Lando Norris. To me, that is going to be one of the highlights of Formula One for next year. Watching those two clowns get along and have fun is going...
And be at the front.
And be
still
at the front because they're going to be fast.
Yeah.
I reckon that is going to be... Because they're usually robots. I reckon those two standout personalities are going to be brilliant to watch next year.
Sport needs it too, don't they? I mean, to have those characters is going to be fantastic. To know that the cars on paper are going to be competitive, and we've seen how strong Lando's been this year. So I mean, together they'll be just dynamite. It'll be a great story for the sport that'll go beyond just us as enthusiasts. And you know, not everyone likes Lewis Hamilton, but as we've talked about on the show before, what he's been able to do for the sport in so many positive ways beyond the realms of our sport. You know, the reach that he's had, the impact that he's had beyond the Grand Prix family is huge for motorsport globally. He's a so to think that now we're going to add two very different characters to that mix that'll hopefully have people talking, I think, is brilliant.
Yeah, I think it's going to be awesome too. And so let's talk about Rusty's Garage. It is your project in the state of lockdown that everyone's been in. Have your listener numbers or listening numbers gone through the roof? Because you're producing some mega stuff. Have the numbers gone through the roof on Rusty's Garage during the lockdown?
Thank you very much. Yeah, we're just about to crack 3 million downloads, which I'm super proud of, guys. We're only sort of 2.5 years into it. Lockdown gave us a few opportunities to talk internationally to a few people, to Dario Franchitti. I mean, we even reflected in there about his time at DJR on the Gold Coast when we had those co-driver races where internationals came in. All sorts of stuff. John Clellan was another one who came on that was phenomenal. And we found, thank you. And we found ways to do it that don't necessarily impact on the audio quality for the listener too. So I've just loved it, guys. I do love those conversations. And we're coming up at the end of August to our 50th episode as well. So we've got a few things that we're trying to plan to celebrate that milestone too. So yeah, it's been great fun.
And who's coming up next? Who can we listen to next?
Are we
not allowed to state that?
I can't say my people will talk to your people and we'll try and do something.
Your people will talk to my people and we'll do lunch unless we're in Victoria. And
right.
Then we won't do anything.
exactly. One thing we should finish on, you guys, and I love catching up with you boys always. We haven't talked about the little blow-up for our great finish, mate. Hey, coming into pit lane and being sold.
And you know what? I recently, you celebrated a birthday, and I posted on your Facebook to my favourite Kimi Räikkönen impersonator, happy birthday. And when I was watching it the other night, and Räikkönen's team told him to come in, and so he fired into the lane, and then they're telling him to stay out. It was vintage.
I'm only in the pit lane.
Drop an expletive. Yeah. I was laughing, thinking, thank God we got Greg on the show this week, because that is going to go down beautifully.
He's golden. Another great reason why we love the sport. Okay, it's not the fastest car in the world that he's in at the moment, but then when they fire them around socially, it's terrific. So, yeah.
How long do you reckon he's going to last there for, Rusty? I mean, he's the sort of guy that you know that likes winning races. As much as we love hearing his humour and his dryness when things don't go his way, and he's probably is care factor of zero at this point in time. Can you see him continuing where he's at? Because it doesn't look like he's having much fun.
Hot topic, isn't it, when you consider about all the discussion around Sebastian Vettel as well and you know, what you know his future will look like. I do wonder how much it motivates Kimi Raikkonen to get out of bed and do that. But I think he'll ultimately morph into some other role in that pit lane, I think, involving a team or whether it's, you know, a greater position from an ownership perspective or something along those lines. I think, you know, it'd be great to see him stick around in that kind of capacity. He's got something great to offer, doesn't he, guys? But whether he'll still be driving, I mean, how much longer he'll keep doing that, I'm not sure.
I can't imagine it to be a role in commentary. I think it'll have to be an internal role. I don't think it'll be commentary.
You know what? Wouldn't that be great? You could have, like, the press the red button and have the alternate commentary where he was your one of your alternate options. Yeah. That would be phenomenal, wouldn't it?
You know what he could be? And I don't know if it'd fly in today's day and age, but he'd be almost like a James Hunt. You know, who really doesn't care, who can just talk the way he wants to talk. He's got a thumping bank account. So if he gets fired tomorrow, he doesn't have to look for any work. So I reckon he would be a cracking commentator. I hope ITV or whoever brings him on.
It'd be a little like a Roy and HG alternate call of the... Remember they used to do it for the State of Origin and stuff like that? That'd be quite funny to have a Kimi Raikkonen and someone else paired together and almost having a blue in commentary about stuff. That'd be phenomenal.
It'd probably be the only kind of Formula One commentary that'll be on a 10-second delay.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Rusty, before we let you go, obviously we're getting delay after delay after delay here with our racing. Supercars delayed again this weekend up in Darwin, hopefully to race next weekend. But you've also got a role with the TCR and ARG group this year in commentary and doing some stuff around the pits. It's getting, and both Stevie J and I drive in that series, in the ARG series in TCM and Trans Am. It's getting very frustrating, is it not? And do you think we'll see a race this year before Bathurst, the Bathurst International in November?
I try in life, as you boys know, to drink glass half full, and they've done a remarkable job, I think, to... you know, to regroup each time when things beyond their control are... I mean, it must be so hard for the likes of Supercars and ARG to, you know, the briefing every day, how many cases are there, what are the regulations, what you can and can't do. I mean, it's affecting people's lives in all, you know, in so many ways. So yeah. I do hope we can. I try and be positive about that, guys, because there's a lot of... very good constituents and people behind it with far better grey matter than mine that can hopefully sort this out. And as I said, I think at the very top of this interview, people need this stuff. It's nice to have sport as an escape from the pressures and the stress and the worry that does come with the situation that we're in right now. And you know, some good people that are fortunate enough to go racing are very eager to do that, and I look forward to the chance to tell that story once it does happen.
And also get you into the Trans Am car. We've had, Rusty and I have had offline discussions about finally at some stage strapping a GoPro into the number 5 car and throwing Rusty in it for a couple of laps. So when you do get to come over to Australia to do it, bring the skid lid, mate, because you're going to have a jump in the Kubota Trans Am car.
I look forward to that. You have, because you're a man who does great research, you have Googled what happens in one of the more recent times I've driven a race car, haven't you?
You destroyed a clutch. Yeah, I remember that in a TCR car. And then I think earlier than that in an Aussie racing
car,
you ripped the steering wheel off it at Winton, I believe.
Coming onto the straight at Winton, last corner.
Yeah, I do. So I didn't say what end of the weekend it would be. I'd imagine that if the car is still in one piece at the end, that's when you'll get a skid. But no, mate, you're welcome. You're welcome to the to be the steering wheel spacer or the seat spacer anytime in my car. You can be my wingman anytime.
We'll have to get a lot of paperwork signed beforehand there, Rusty, just in case.
That's right. And we own all GoPro footage. footage for steering for countless years to come, no doubt. So, yeah, look absolutely forward to it. Thank you, Daddy.
Exactly. Look, Rusty, you mentioned at the start when we started chatting to you that sport has been, you know, a bit of a guiding light during these pretty tough times for a lot of people, not just in Australia but worldwide. But you've got to extend that to yourself and what you've done with Rusty's Garage. And you did say that there are some great international guests too, but let's not take it away from some of the fantastic local guests you've had too. Jason Bright is the latest addition, and you've even chatted with Beardo. That's been one of my favourite episodes, and it gives a great insight into some of these people that we see on screen, but we really get to know them a bit behind the microphone thanks to you. So you've been doing your bit too, and we really appreciate that, Rusty. So thanks for that.
Thank you, guys. I love the backstories and hopefully blending a laugh into to some of the serious stuff and the genuine passion for the car or the bike, whatever it might be.
You're doing some fantastic work there at Podcast One.
Thank you, lads. Nice to catch up with you all.
So hopefully, when this is done and dusted, we can see you at a racetrack soon.
Look forward to that. It's Stevie J, shout for a little lemonade. Thank you, lads.
Absolutely. Oh, don't talk about lemons. He's on a lemon detox at the moment, Mr. Russ.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh,
no. I love
cranky
lemons.
He'll be cranky. Okay.
So he's only day two.
I'm only, no, day three. And a day three. He's got seven to go.
He's lost 600 ounces.
Oh, come on.
Love you, Stevie. Love you, mate.
Good on you, Rusty. We'll chat soon.
See you, brothers.
This is the driver's seat for Kubota. Together, we're building Australia, and MIDI's Electrical offering you more, and you can cheer on the Mobil 1 MIDI supercar in the Darwin Triple Crown.
This is the driver's seat for Kubota, building Australia.
Great to have your company on the driver's seat. We do it thanks to MIDI's Electrical, and you can cheer on the Mobil 1 MIDI supercar in the Darwin Triple Crown, and of course our long-time supporters at Kubota Building Australia. Right now, it is time for our Bendix Brakes Race Rewind.
This is the driver's seat Race Rewind.
If you want cleaner wheels, fit Bendix Brakes. We're going to look back at a famous Darwin race, the Triple Crown in 2013, Race 19. It was Red Bull Racing's Craig Lowndes edging Mark Winterbottom in the Pepsi Max Crew Falcon, but it was the massive shunt at the start of the race that took seven cars out of the field that really caused all the attention. Davey Reynolds had a great start off the line, but ultimately finished third after the race was red flagged less than 30 seconds after it started. Have a listen to how it unfolded.
So far, it has been the day of the FPR fight back. So the Model O Ford will lead them down to turn one. Lowndes slots into second.
Oh,
big
Tanda
time on the inside from Tanda, and that will force some contact with Will Davison.
Bright's been elbowed, and round goes Slade. It's taken Bright with him, and into the wall goes David Ball. Oh, this is big. Oh. That's Dean Fiore up on the side. One of the Ultimas there, that's Russell Engle involved with Alex Premer. They're all in the fence. This will be safety car, may even be red flag.
That was turn one, red flag, red flag.
Can we just take a moment to appreciate that Mark's game?
Yeah. Is that seriously?
They're all in the fence again.
They're like, is that his go-to phrase? Because if they were all in the fence, there wouldn't be a need for a red flag, Mark. There was only two or three in the fence, mate. Seriously, there was 25 cars, mate. Seriously. Maybe he should be. Imagine if he owned ACT Fence Hire or something like that. Or, you know, like he would go nuts. It'd be like Christmas for
him. We're in the fence.
We've got fences.
We've got fences.
Definitely get their bang for their buck if that was the case. But yeah.
Fair dinkum, mate.
But yeah, what's your memories of Darwin 2013?
I was there with V8 Utes, and it's a great circuit. Love it, and good racing back in 2013 from memory.
Now, this is also the first year of Car of the Future, isn't it, 2013? So when you see a big old prang like that, did you see the names there? Timmy Slade, Dean Fiore, David Wall, Alex Davison,
yeah,
James
David
Moffat.
Wall was in my car.
Yes, and in the wall as Crompo went and said there. Is Darwin, we saw, was it the rollover by Lee Holdsworth a couple of years ago as well?
Oh, yeah, Darwin's fast.
Yeah.
Darwin's fast, and probably safety-wise up until about 3 years ago wasn't.
Well, after that crash, actually, they replaced that wall with a wall further back, but it was a concrete wall, and that's the wall that Holdsworth
hit. That's right.
Mm-hmm. And hurt himself.
Really hurt himself.
Yeah.
It's a fast place, Nimsy. Yeah. I mean, apart from the hairpin in the valley, it's fast, it's flowing. The wall walls are relatively tight. There's not a huge grass runoff unless it's down at the end of turn one. But yeah, you come off there, you hit something. You don't stop until you hit something, typically. So it's pretty. It's been an action. It's been a place for action forever. And I mean, even up until last year, remember Nick Percat and Macaulay Jones. I think Macaulay made a mistake and went a little bit deep, and Nick tried to follow him and went head first straight into the wall.
Right, and the Dunlop
both
car.
Cars yeah. went over the Dunlop car.
That's right.
Which was right underneath the Kubota corporate box.
Yeah, so that was over nice that double Nick. Left over the back of the circuit. They yeah. turned seven, I think it was. Turned yeah. seven or eight.
Tomorrow. Yeah, yeah. You were up there with the TCM car, were you not?
Correct. Yeah. yeah.
Just that commentary. I just love how Scafie is just like, he's just talking as if like...
They're all on the fence. Yeah. Give me a break. They're not all on the fence.
We got to remember though, Steve, like they're into the fence, they're all in the fence. Sounds a lot better than the majority of them are in the fence. It's just a lot more for Scafie to say.
They're in the fence. They're both in the fence. They're all in the fence. Didn't he say that at Sydney?
Sydney, 2010, yeah.
In the West, yeah.
You're all in the fence.
He loves the word fence.
And then at Bathurst in 2016 as well. So I think you're onto something there, Steve. That was our race rewind. Thanks to Bendix Brakes. Put your foot down with confidence. Bendix Brakes, Australian technology for all weather confident braking. Now, lads, the championship heads to Darwin next, and we do have to wait a tad longer than expected, but the Triple Crown will be, of course, next weekend. It's a homecoming for local lad Bryce Fullwood, who's in his rookie year in the main game, and he's sporting the very familiar Middies electrical livery on his ZB Commodore that we're so used to seeing on the side of his car that was eating up race wins last year in Super 2 where he won the championship.
And interestingly, boys, when you look at drivers of yesteryear and today, like you look at your dad, synonymous with Shell, you look at Brocky, he was synonymous with Mobil and the Holden Racing team, you're now synonymous with Shell and all that kind of stuff. Middies have backed him for a couple of years now, and they're becoming...
Hey, I'm synonymous with Full Throttle Custom Garage and Kubota. Thanks very much.
but seriously, Middies have backed him for a couple of years now in his DVS campaign, and they've followed him up through to the main game, so he's becoming quite synonymous with that brand as well.
Very much so, and you can see that on the side of his ZB Commodore. And we've got actually from Middies, Nick Collins. He's the GM of Sales and Operations at Middies. Nick, thanks for joining us here on the driver's seat. Now, as Maddie went and said, you guys have backed Bryce for yonks. To see where he is now, you must be pretty proud for you guys over there.
Oh, look, guys, very proud. I mean, we started supporting Bryce back in 2010 when he was in go-karts, and we've supported him the whole way through, and it's really exciting to see him win, you know, Super 2s last year and get his big chance this year in the V8s, and you know, getting 10th at Sydney has been a great, you know, chance for Bryce to make it the big time.
So welcome to the show, Nick. It's good to have you here. Let's talk Darwin for a moment, because Middies and he are from Darwin. So let's talk about what sort of, if any, corporate guests you can have up there and that kind of, what kind of support are you putting on for the racing up there in Darwin when we get to it next weekend?
Yeah, no, so we've got, you know, three wholesale brands established in Darwin, so we've got about 45 customers going along to the event, and that's just general admissions. We haven't got to get any corporate activity going on, but we've also hopefully had Bryce appearing at a couple of our branches too for customers. We've got plenty of merchandise available, so we're pretty excited.
Why have you backed him? Why? What is it about Bryce that, as you said, you've been on his cart since 2010, so that's a 10-year association, Stevie J. That's a long association for any partner. What is it about Bryce? Is it his attitude? Is it the way he relates to the store owners and staff? What do we love about Bryce?
We love about Bryce, it all started back his parents, Brad and Kelly Fullwood. They run electrical wholesale, electrical contractors business in Darwin. So that's where the connection started, and we've followed Bryce the whole way through, but it's really about reciprocal business. They support us very well, and we've been happy to support Bryce in his journey, and more so with Walkinshaw Andretti United this year. So that's where the connection started and continued.
So, Nick, when obviously Bryce did a great job, he was with a totally different team last year in Matty White racing the Nissan, won the championship in Super 2. Was it basically straight there and then that you guys decided you're going to try to get into the main game? Or was that quite a last-minute thing? Because from what I was hearing, it was a seat that was to and fro for a long time, right up until not long before Adelaide.
Yeah, it was definitely wasn't on our radar, and it was only until discussion started to talk with Bryce to get a spot in the main series, and then we started negotiations. And before that, it really wasn't on our radar.
And so we've had Darwin delayed this week, as we know. Unfortunately, we go next week. What will be success for Middies and Bryce next weekend when we finally race? What will look like success for you guys?
I mean, look, we're not putting too much pressure. We made that pretty clear from the start, and I think getting 10th in Sydney was a really a good opportunity to us to see what Bryce has got in his kit. And if Bryce can, finish the races and finish in the top 10 or the top 15, I think that would be a great result for his development. We've got no expectations. At the end of the day, him and Chaz and the team are really about getting through the races and getting the best position they can. So that would be great for us.
I want to put you under the blowtorch. Before we go, I want to put you under the blowtorch. As Stevie J said, he was in Nissan last year. You're an old school fan. You love Brocky and DJ and all those sorts of blokes from yesteryear. But be honest, forget about WAU for a moment. Just be honest. Do you bleed red or do you bleed blue?
Bleed red.
I knew there was, as soon as Nick got on, I knew there was just something a little bit off. But now, how good is it though to see, and I love seeing young guys get a good go and get good support from good companies, you know what I mean? I've had a lot to do with Bryce with regard to racing and just bits and pieces, and just to rip a young bloke, he helped us a lot even when my young fella started karting, so just a really good guy, and it's makes me very happy to see the right guys get the right opportunities.
No, we couldn't ask for any more. He comes from a good family and is a well-mannered child, and he's really grown up for a 22-year-old. When you hear him speak, he's very confident, and that's what really stands out for us as supporting him in his quest moving forward.
Nick, thanks for taking some time to have a chat with us here on the driver's seat. It's great to see you take that journey with Bryce from karting to Super 2 and now to the main game championship. Hopefully we can see you at a race track soon, and cheers for joining us on the driver's seat.
No, thanks guys, really enjoyed it.
You are listening to the driver's seat. Thanks to Kubota. Together we're building Australia, and Middies Electrical, the Mobil 1 MIDI supercar races next weekend at the Darwin Triple Crown.
This is the driver's seat for Kubota, building Australia.
Welcome back to the driver's seat. We do it thanks to Kubota, building Australia, and Middies Electrical, offering you more. Right now, it is time for this.
Now on the driver's seat, the podium.
Yes, the podium. We look at three talking points from the week, and Matt and Steve give it a bit of a deep dive. It's a bit of a jolly one, actually, this time around, because P1 on the podium, this is some news that brought a smile to my doll, and that is David Reynolds is going to be a dad.
He is.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no, he's going to be another one of them.
Can you imagine that?
Oh, man.
Can you imagine?
If we're still doing radio in 25 years...
Baby.
It'll be hysterical.
Holy cow.
Speaking of deep dive, congratulations, Dave and Tahan.
Yes.
That's because...
I can't wait to meet the little fella or little chicky.
Yeah. Mm. Like, it's going to have the personality you would not be able to jump
imagine
over.
Having David Tahan as your parents. That would be just the most
mental.
Fun.
I remember a story. I used to work with a guy who his wife taught Dave Reynolds in... I think it was preschool or primary school or whatever. And he supposedly says that she came home one day and I said, I've got this young fella in my class. His name's Dave Reynolds. He's just not quite right, I don't think. So maybe that's what's going to happen next time. Now that the baby comes out.
Maybe Jet's got a good future then in motor racing, because some teachers say the same thing about him.
And he's just not quite right. Or is he talking about you?
No. I was grown up by then.
Right. Okay.
but a big shout out to and congratulations to David Reynolds and to Han, who will be expecting their first child early 2021. The best thing I love about this is Dave actually said, we did plan to have an early year baby because that's when there's no racing going on.
Whoops. Okay.
Well done. Well done there. Yeah,
that's the first thing I thought too. I thought, oh, lockdown went well.
Yeah.
Not much else to do, really.
I don't think...
Tell
TV blew up.
Yeah. Got bored of the sim.
Don't think Dave will be going to the 12-hour that year. But P2 on the podium, a milestone at Darwin coming up the following weekend. Gary Jacobson will be celebrating 50 starts. Now, it's not often that we make a big hoo-ha about a number that's less than 100. But for Gary Jacobson, he spent a lot of time in Super 2 and in the wilderness before he got his main game drive with Kelly Racing last year.
He did, and great congratulations, Tim. Great to see him get to that milestone. You know, we celebrate 300 games or 100 games or whatever in AFL, and it's hard because it's very expensive to get to supercars. And over the years, he's had various sponsors, and it looked like he was going to get to the main game. And then he'd get to the end of a Dunlop Super 2 Championship, go back to his sponsors and look good. And then, you know, there'd be the answer.
No cash.
Or just
actually, you know who else has the same issue? And he was a full-time driver of recent times. He shouldn't be on the sidelines. Let's be fair. Michael Caruso, and the reason that he is in the same boat. The reason that he is on the sidelines is because of.
There's no cash here. Here, there's no cash. All right, cash no. Robbo, no cash.
Oh, it's just.
See, he's even famous in movies.
It's amazing how Gary Rogers sounds like, what's his name?
Vince Colosimo.
Vince Colosimo, that's right, big Vince.
Congratulations go out to Gary Jacobson because let's face it, he seems to have found a team that fits him. We talk about Davey Reynolds finding a fit in Erebus after being in FPR and other teams and whatnot, but Gary Jacobson and MSR just sort of seem to be that good mould, doesn't it?
I think that they're the team and the guys. I mean, they had Todd Hazelwood last year, Ripper young bloke, same sort of thing. Just worked his bum off to try to get a budget to go. Gary Jacobson's been doing the same thing.
Yep.
Got some great sponsors at that team in Kubota.
Yep.
And I think that. That team, and I know I'm going to probably get shot for this, but that team is not really a team that I believe you're going to ever find a Scott McLaughlin driver, like, as in established guy that's already, unless they, able to get $5 million from a corporate sponsor to then go, hey, let's go and pick and choose our driver. But it they need to have...
It'd have to be a Vettel to Racing Point type scenario.
Yeah, but don't forget, they'd have to have the equipment and the expertise and the development behind them to actually have some of those sort of guys go, okay, yeah, I will come and drive for you. It doesn't matter how much money you give us.
Yeah,
I will come and drive for you because I know the direction that it's heading and the success it's hopefully going to have. So you're not going to get a driver, especially a high established driver, that's going to go to a team that's underfunded and really struggling against the bigger teams.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's always going to have up and coming drivers.
Yep.
And what I love about Gary is that he doesn't come from a massively wealthy family. He's a Shepparton boy.
Mm-hmm.
And what does he do Monday to Friday when he's not driving at 300 k's an hour? Drives a school bus. Love that.
That must be one hell of a weird sort of going for
it. Yeah. Imagine what the kids would do the weekend after he maybe has a shunt or something? They would rib him.
Well, he actually interviewed recently and said exactly that the kids don't give him a crack, but the school bus is really quiet. No one wants to talk. So when he had a really good result...
Is that because they've all got white knuckles on? Yeah.
What you going to do to us? But when he won in Super 2, it was the whole bus was like... gone through the roof. It was great. The whole town of Shepparton gets around Gary Jacobson. So brilliant to see him get to 50 rounds.
100% there. And last but not least, this is a bit of speculation here on the podium. In P3, the Tickford Enduro rumour mill, because I happen to see just a bit of chatter around, and this hasn't been confirmed by Tickford yet, but Will Davison would be partnering Cameron Waters in the number 6 Monster Energy Ford Mustang.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense because you can't... It was meant to be Prema, but of course, given the COVID situation, he can't get over from LA. So, yeah, I mean, it would make sense.
And then Tim Edwards.
Yeah.
Tim Edwards has said go, Steve.
Yep. No, I was just going to say, I think that's right, because what makes sense to me is the Premier might not be able to make it, as you said, Matty. Yeah. And then, they'll put Will Davison with Cam Waters, and then they'll shift Michael Caruso towards Lee Holdsworth, who's a better size fit.
They're great mates.
Yes, exactly. They've driven together before quite a few times.
Yeah.
Reunites the old GRM dream team there. And, of course, it was confirmed rather early by some outlets that 17-year-old Brock Feeney will be teaming up with 40-year-old James Courtney in the number.
They did it again during the week too.
Yeah.
They did it again. There was all this rumour about supercars not doing Darwin, and they reported it again.
Yeah, or a change in what was going to happen.
They're going to report it again.
So. Yeah, the what do you call it, Manny? The embargo was on at 2 p.m. on, was it Wednesday, I believe? Yeah, 2
yeah,
p.m.
It was.
On Wednesday.
2 p.m. Wednesday, and they broke it early.
That story came out at 1 p.m. on Wednesday.
So, Nimsy, do you reckon when Michael Caruso goes into Tim Edwards and he says, mate, I want to do the Enduros, I want 150 grand, what kind of response do you reckon he gets from Tim Edwards?
Cash, no. Robbo?
No cash.
Oh, we're going to get such a good run out of that
one.
Oh,
yeah, that's almost as good as Nomax.
No, we've got a new one now.
I hit the wall. Copy, Max.
that's our new favourite one. I've hit the wall. Copy, Max. That about wraps up this week's edition of The Driver's Seat. Thank you to Greg Rust for another great chat. Make sure you check out his podcast, Rusty's Garage, wherever you get your podcast from. But this has been The Driver's Seat for Kubota. Together, we are building Australia, and MIDI's Electrical offering you more. And you can cheer on the Mobile One MIDI Supercar and the Darwin Triple Crown. We'll see you next week.